Good evening, Holden Village. Welcome to Eucharist. My name is Chuck. My wife Peg and I serve the village as directors. And we also have, I think, some goodbyes. Is there anyone leaving tomorrow to go down the mountain? I would like to send you with a blessing. May God bless you with strength to seek justice. May God bless you with wisdom to care for our earth. May God bless you with love to bring forth new life. Thank you for being with us at Holden.
Good evening. My name is Pastor Josh Grauber. I'm the visiting pastor in the village this summer, and also this evening. I am here to invite you into worship, and we are going to worship together with some wonderful gifted people this evening. Our presider this evening is Greg Molesky from Colorado. We have Paul Rohde preaching. Paul is the campus pastor at Augustana in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Our musician this week is Rolf Vegdahl. Yes. Solveig, one of our worship assistants, will be providing music along with John Hermanson, who wrote the liturgy that we'll be doing this evening called the Feast of Victory. So this evening, for our worship, we'll be using this booklet, so please have that for the worship. Share if you need to. And then we'll also be using the ELW, so this hymnal. And John, I was wondering if you had any words to introduce us to this liturgy and let us know where it came from.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. I'm John Hermanson. This liturgy was originally commissioned for me to write from a small community in northeast Minneapolis called Mercy Seat that is no longer around. They closed their doors in November, but they left behind a legacy of many liturgies like this. What they did was every 6 weeks they hired another musician to write a liturgy for them, and they would change liturgies every 6 weeks. So there's a huge variety of them, and they're floating around there, out there in the ether somewhere, and I'm going to try to figure out how to collect them all and make them available for everyone. So if anyone's interested, let me know, and I can do that.
I was actually ordained at Mercy Seat, and it's been great to know that these liturgies are living on, and that we get to enjoy one that started there and is going to be lived out this evening as we worship tonight. Please prepare your hearts and your minds for worship.
Return my soul to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you and delivered you from death, your eyes from tears, your feet from stumbling. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the world, the well-being of the church, and the unity of all, Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and all who offer here worship and pray. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Is this the feast of victory? Our God, or a foretaste of the kingdom. You said, leave your nets behind you, broke bread and drank wine.
Tonight's first reading comes from the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood behind him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And all of that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you." Word of God, word of life. The second reading comes from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bringing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with Christ so that we may also be glorified with Christ. I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Word of God, word of life.
Lord, to whom shall
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The dominion of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But the farmer replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Friends gathered in worship, grace and peace in the name of the gardener of the universe, the most merciful and gracious and generous gardener I know, who in Jesus comes to manifest as slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Amen. I can only imagine that every gardener in the room could tell that a garden yields a variety of surprises. We've been gardeners for 30 years, and I'm still surprised how many green beans a single seed will produce. When you live in a winter as long as I do, it's an awakening. It's an astonishing taste when rhubarb is alive again. It calls you back to your garden, back to life. I'm telling you, it tastes like resurrection. And who doesn't forget that succulent sweetness of a vine-ripened tomato when we eat those pale substitutes all year until August? It's a knock-your-socks-off surprise every time. A garden is full of surprises, but they aren't all so happy. For 2 years now, our carrots haven't germinated well. We're not sure why. 1 year, the zucchini and the butternut squash grew too close together and cross-pollinated. The squash, if you could call them that, were dreadfully bitter. I'm no longer surprised at how much rabbits and deer can and do eat, but we were very surprised a year ago when a flock of 13 wild turkeys tried to make a salad bar out of our roses and hostas. People who know my wife know her as a kind and gentle person. That would be a surprise to those turkeys. And then there are the weeds. We drove by a billboard in Winthrop, Washington last night that said, "Weeds are a pain in the grass and in the garden too." Weeds, of course, are not surprising. But the advice of the farmer in Jesus' parable, "Don't pull the weeds just yet, lest you damage the wheat," is a mystery indeed. A very wise neighbor in our first parish understood this, I think. We were just learning to tend a yard and grow a garden, and she saw my zeal for uprooting dandelions and thistles, and she cautioned me, "Pastor, you will never get all of them." She could have added, "And you may do great damage trying." I begin here not because the parable is talking directly about surprises, though parables are always surprising. It seems to me that Jesus' simple story wants to call us out of thinking we know. We know which is the good plant and which is the weed. It wants us to hold off hasty or premature judgment. It wants to let them both grow together, to set us in tiptoe anticipation of what may come, to teach us hope, even for weeds. Caroline Lewis, a professor at Luther Seminary, says this parable is not a call to action, it's a call to honesty. There are surprises in a garden. Some of them are happy, some are bitter, and some are a mysterious combination of both. The Bible calls us to be honest about that. One year we bought broccoli plants, and they turned out to be Brussels sprouts. You should not fault the Brussels sprouts because they bloom in their armpit instead of on their head. They were delicious. And there was the year that hail shredded the Swiss chard, but the roots treated it like the best pruning they'd ever gotten. The plants not only came back, they were abundantly productive all summer long. Could teach us to pray for hail. I remember my uncle harvesting on his farm. I remember the days he'd thrill to bountiful wheat or shake his head in disappointment at what appeared to be such a beautiful field of oats whose heads simply didn't fill. That means the kernel, the fruit, never came. Still, Oscar, my godfather, who lived to be 100, was steady and hopeful in planting and waiting and living in humble anticipation that good will come, that life will come, that all kinds of surprises will come. This parable is so much more than a new rule, something that just says, well, don't pull weeds. It's a window into the very mystery of redemption. Sometimes what we think are weeds are amazing gifts. Sometimes what we think is certain or full or sure comes up empty. And while this parable isn't the only thing the Bible has to say about bad things, there's certainly wisdom in learning patience, perseverance, endurance, in learning humility, for no other reason than we can damage so much by premature judgment. This is a great text for a campus pastor. I have learned that I cannot predict. Sometimes there are students whose simplicity and prudence convince me that their families are really stretching to pay for an Augustana education. And others whose trendy apparel and state-of-the-art electronics look like they come from deep pockets indeed. You know that commandment, you shall not covet your student's Patagonia. And then I get to consult on the pre-seminary scholarships that are awarded. And I see these students need assessments and learn that I am wrong on both counts. I sit at graduation, and sometimes I'm absolutely astonished at who the summa cum laude with highest honor graduates are. And sometimes I'm more surprised that the student I thought was graduating is singing in the choir, in a choir robe instead of a mortarboard. I've learned that I cannot predict. There are students who look like complete packages, totally put together, mature, bright, talented. And in terms of another parable, the wind blows, they stumble on a rock, or the sun scorches, and they wither just that fast. And there are other students who struggle mightily, and I worry if they'll make it. Jesus' parable gives a very hopeful and helpful assessment. They are germinating, and more than a few of them graduate to flourish and be bountiful, and I am astonished. When Caroline Lewis says the text is a call for honesty, she doesn't just mean honesty about my students. She means honesty about me. When I'm hasty or sure or tempted to give up or so confident things will work out that I don't need to help, I am a weed, though I'm far from knowing it. 35 years of ministry later, it's a gift to be reminded that in the weeds and in spite of the weeds, Jesus can still surprise. I was thrilled that Jacob showed up in worship tonight. This is not a shameless plug, but we are going to be studying the rivalries of the siblings in Genesis in Living Word this week. I'm looking forward to it mightily. For tonight, let me simply use a few of them to illustrate some various responses to weeds. You probably all know Cain kills Abel. That would be the herbicide approach. The billboard in Winthrop was advertising an herbicide. And maybe you know that Sarah kicked Hagar and Ishmael out of the house. That's the tension then between Isaac and Ishmael. That would be the pulling weeds option. There's so much to learn about our lives with our own siblings and our global neighbors by paying attention to these stories. The story we hear of Jacob tonight is pivotal. Jacob is a weed, if ever there was one, and there I go sounding sure again, don't I? Jacob has been grabbing his whole life. From birth, when he grabbed his twin brother Esau's heel, and then grabbed Esau's blessing, and then Esau's birthright, and then Laban's daughters. I know the sibling rivalries are not all about men. Rachel and Leah have their own issues, and we'll read those too. In the story tonight, notice that the angels, so like the surprises in life or in a garden, go both up and down the ladder. This is the beginning of Jacob learning that some of the weeds in the world, maybe many of the weeds in the world, are his own. On Wednesday, we'll listen to his midnight wrestling with God that transforms these weeds. With our siblings in life, with our global neighbors, like in a garden, there are happy surprises. There are other surprises. And there are lots of surprises that are hard to tell. I hope your time in the wilderness gives you courage in being honest about them and helps you learn trust in letting wheat and weeds grow together. Campus Ministry at Augustana is very involved in service learning. We have relationships at Pine Ridge, here at Holden, at a soup kitchen in New York City, and at scores of agencies and ministries in Sioux Falls. Our students are vigorous and earnest and eager to make a difference. When you have a couple of dozen of these eager, earnest, vigorous students on a job, it's hard to keep them all occupied. So I've crafted a mantra, this about service: don't just do something, stand there. I'm totally committed to practicing service, but I worry about how easily that becomes condescending if we conclude prematurely that we are wheat here to feed the weeds. Don't just do something, stand there. Stand there not only to see and feel the anguish that people face in poverty, but also to see and learn from resilience and kindness and friendship that's more powerful than we know. Stand there to pay attention, not only what you see in front of you, but what you feel inside you. For as many times as we say, check your judgment at the door, we still feel it. I think it's better to stand there and feel and own and acknowledge our judgment than trying to do something to cover it up. Don't just do something, stand there. Feel your own weediness and learn the power of truth and mercy to transform it. Don't just do something, stand there. Students have come to be in awe of the way community and ritual and story are shared at Pine Ridge, South Dakota. We almost always end up talking about different kinds of poverty. Certainly, Pine Ridge faces material poverty. It's the poorest county in the nation. But the way community and heritage and ritual are practiced there are gifts and treasures, surprises to teach us. Stand there until the Spirit of God can move us past assumption or presumption or thinking we know and give us a moment to grow together. Don't just stand there. Don't just do something. Stand there. I shall not forget the day we were in New York City in a soup kitchen that serves 1,000 homeless people a week. In their free time, some of our students walked Fifth Avenue and went into Saks, the Saks on the Fifth Avenue. They thought it would be cool. But they were appalled and incensed at the exorbitant indulgences. T-shirts for $75, shoes for $1,000. They came back to the church raging and said, "We have to talk to Pastor Phil." And when Phil came in the room, he said, "How do you live with these contradictions? How do people live with themselves and that kind of opulence when they know so many folks in New York City are destitute?" Pastor Phil didn't do anything at first. He stood there. He listened attentively, steadily, to their exasperation. He was quiet a moment, and when he spoke, he said something like this: "I told you at the beginning of the week to check judgment at the door. I meant check it all around. Yes, the contradictions are hard. The injustice is extreme. Solutions are complex and hard to come by. But we wouldn't be here if it weren't for the generosity of people on Fifth Avenue. The way I see it," he concluded, "everyone needs bread and everyone needs forgiveness. Let them grow together," Jesus said, "and let them learn to be honest about themselves with each other, lest we uproot the wheat with the weeds." Jesus hung out with a lot of weeds. He knew in his bones that all of us have weeds. He knew that all of us hunger for bread and for love, for purpose, for making a difference. In the end, almost everybody thought Jesus himself was a weed. But he lived to help us have Jacob's vision. Surely God is in this place. And have Romans' promise: hope that sees is not hope, but hope will not disappoint us. These places of brokenness and hunger, of great hope and resilience and desperate emptiness, Jesus, echoing Jacob, teaches us to know that surely God is in these places. This is a call to honesty, undergirded and empowered by the gardener of the universe, the most gracious and merciful and generous gardener I know, who brings truth and grace together like weeds and wheat to make us new, to make the world new, to make life new, together. Amen.
called together in the Spirit's embrace, let us pray for the mending of God's world. Enliven your church with love for your world, O God. Give undivided hearts to Christians from Africa and the Americas, Asia and Europe. Make us one in faithful witness to your will, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Renew the life of this earth, O God, even as it groans because of misuse and decay. Cultivate in us an eager longing for a healthy and life-giving earth. Lord, in your mercy. Bridge the chasms that divide the nations, O God. Inspire a reconciling vision among the world's leaders and bring together people of differing commitments for the sake of the world's most vulnerable people. Lord, in your mercy. Embrace those who suffer, O God. Give peace to all who are near death, hope to those who are depressed, shelter to the homeless, and healing to the sick. Lord, in your mercy. Embolden our witness to your love, O God. Send us out into the world with courageous hearts and holy wisdom. Inspire us to tend to and delight in our children's faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your care through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with one another.
As you are able, please stand. The Lord be with you.
And
Also here.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Yes, it is right and beautiful that we join creation's continuing song of praise to you, our God, whose breath is in us, whose light leads us, and whose love surrounds us.
Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor demons, nor rulers, neither height nor depth,
Almighty and merciful God, you are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering therefore his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, be formed to live as your holy people, and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
All are invited to share in this feast. At this table, Christ's body is broken for the reconciliation of all the world in forgiveness and in love. All are welcome. If you desire to share in this meal, please come forward with those seated near you. You will first be served bread, which you are invited to take into your hands and eat.
You will then be invited to share in Christ's cup in one of three ways. You will first be invited to drink wine directly from the common cup. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, please simply pass by the common cup, and taking a cup from the basket, proceed to the person holding the first pitcher, which will contain wine. If you prefer grape juice, please also take an individual cup from the basket, but proceed to the second pitcher, which will contain grape juice. Children are also invited to commune at this table. However, if you would prefer to receive a blessing for yourself or your child, please simply come forward with your hands folded, and the person serving bread will offer you a blessing. We will also have a gluten-free station in the center between the two rows up at the front. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Who emptied himself to be a servant, who turns over tables in the holy temple, who welcomes the stranger, who visits the prisoner, who lifts up from the dirt and the dust, who asks the same thing of us, who asks the same thing of us, who asks the same thing of us. Lamb of God, who emptied himself.
Hymn 496. Hymn 467.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen us and keep us in God's grace.
Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace. For you, our Lord, forevermore. Amen.
Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. Mine own eyes have seen the salvation which you prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal to you the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled.
Thank you.
Go in peace, sing to the Lord of the harvest.